Good evening, friends. Let us unite in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, we thank Thee again that as we assemble together to worship You, to meditate upon Thy purposes and plans, to find our relationship to these great events which You have ordained for the elevation of Thy household and of Thy kingdom, the bringing in of the great new order which You have ordained. We thank Thee, our Father, that You have granted unto us the pattern of Thy words, the blueprint of the ages, the voice which You have spoken unto Thy people, heard throughout all ages, from the lips of the prophets, the testimony of Thy own embodiment, and the prophecies which You gave unto Thy apostles and disciples for the message of revelation. So in this hour, as we survey these situations, we have not been left without a guide. You have assured us that You do nothing except You speak through Your ministers and unto Thy people, that You have given unto us a sure word of prophecy. You have demonstrated Thy ability to fulfill all that You have purposed. And in these things which are ahead, we shall see the accomplishments of Thy kingdom, the utilization of Thy household, and the mighty victories of which You have declared. So as we commit ourselves into Thy hand, grant unto us the faith that comes from knowledge, that we might participate to bring to pass these things which You have ordained. Say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then we ask it. Amen. We turn tonight in the subject, the death of the beast system. We've had a great number of questions, sometimes the letters as well as individual questions. How shall it end? My, what a terrible situation we're in. As we said to you this afternoon, it's the time of Jacob's trouble. A great number of people said, what's the end of this going to be? What's going to happen economically? What's going to happen politically? What's going to happen to the nations? What's going to happen to the earth? What's going to happen to us? What shall the end of these things be? Tonight we're going to talk to you about the end of the beast system. And what we're going to talk to you about is not only something that we do not guess, we do not speculate, because it's fully contained. It's the revelation of the Scriptures. It is the pattern of prophecy. It is the purpose of the Most High God. And God adds to it the catalyst of vision and opens up the great panorama. And so that as one meditates upon His Word and studies and seeks the answer, the great unfolded panorama of events passes before the minds of His ministers. It is a simple thing then to turn to the Scripture for its support to tell you what the end of these things shall be. When we talk about the beast system, it's rather important that we clarify what it constitutes. As we have cited to you in only this quick summary, will we make this area of review, that your race in the earth today are the children of God. They are the household of God. The reason why God placed the Adamic earth race in the earth, where there were already existed other races, where there were empires and kingdoms and many of them gone in antediluvian catastrophes, was because you were His household, and He was transporting you from heaven to earth, and through the birth of the Adamic households He was sending His spiritual children into the earth to build His kingdom. Now the kingdom of God must come into power. It must come into being. It is the administration of the one and only true God over all of the earth, over all of its kingdoms, and over all of the areas of its religions. It is the ultimate triumph of the forces of righteousness over the powers of darkness. And since there is involved in this from far back in the antiquities of ancient yesterdays, the rebellion of an archangel affecting a third of the universe, and the mutations of peoples throughout the universe and in the earth, and the violations of divine law, and the catastrophes and production of unassimilatable societies, we have a great background for the conditions that affect the earth tonight. When we talk about the beast system, that which is not begotten of God, which is not His own household, which is not spirit of His spirit, and therefore possessors of His spirit, are the Enosh. The Enosh lack the spirit. They have a soul consciousness. They're races and peoples, many of them fallen under the Luciferian control, are known today as the beast system. Now, these people live under the beast order. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of righteousness. They are His children. Spirit of His spirit, life of His life. Someone said, how can you tell them apart? Well, the one thing you can always tell, the identity of the Adamic race, because the identity of the white race is today the race, the last race that has come archaeologically. We have the evidence. We have it anthropologically. We can go back through the fossilology and through the records of all the findings and discover that the last race is the white race. And I tell you tonight, the white race is the household of God. It is the kingdom of God. And the white nations of the world are the Christian nations tonight. Now, the program of God meets with ultimate grace. The pattern of God is not only good for all the earth, but He's promised that all the ends of the earth shall be saved. not saved from great catastrophes when they die, but saved from the living catastrophes of the violations of divine law and the power of darkness that the beast system holds with tyranny over the earth. When we talk about the beast system, we are talking about a multiple program. All of this is described in the book of Revelation as the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. When we talk about the dragon, we are talking about Lucifer. Turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. It tells us that Satan, called the devil, is none other than Lucifer, the dragon, the deceiver. So we talk about the dragon, we're talking about Lucifer. And when we talk about the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, we're talking also about his offspring. Now when we talk about dragon and his offspring, you say, what do you mean by the dragon? The dragon, is it a dragon in the sky? Is it a strange, great lizard-like monster? Is it the dragons of the dinosaur age? No. This is the title to Lucifer, a fallen archangel, who sometimes also referred to as the serpent, whose symbols in the sky were Dragoonus as well as Hydra the serpent. And when we refer to the emblems of his empire, you can find the snake entwined in the emblems of his people and in the powers of the forces of the evil doctrines and temples of idolatry that he has throughout the world. Lucifer, the fallen archangel. You say, well, how can he have a seed? There is a dragon seed in the earth tonight. And that dragon seed do the work of their dragon father. They help to spread the beast system in its political power. And the beast system make up the great mass of the political power of the peoples of the dragon seed and under the dragon. And so the sum total of people without the Spirit of God moving under the darkness and under the system of the dragon are known today as the beast system. The false prophet are all the areas of false religion and anti-God religion that deny that Jesus is the Christ, wage warfare against Christian civilization. And as such today, in their religious chicanery, as well as in the carrying out of their anti-God programs, because there is only one God, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh thy God is one Lord, and there is none else. The others are pagan usurpers. They are the offspring of the satanic and mutations, and they are the false gods of earth. When we talk about the beast system, we're not talking about something that is just a mythology. We're talking about a reality. When we talk about an unassimilatable seed, we're talking about Satan's children that cannot be assimilated by any part of the household of God's kingdom. Someone said, well, how do we know that Satan has children? Well, Jesus told the Jews on Solomon's porch that they were not his sheep, but he told them prior to that in the 8th chapter of John. He says, I am of my father, but you are of your father. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a liar and a murderer in the beginning. The truth was not in him. Now, he was speaking at that time of these Canaanites, who he clearly identified as Canaanites, because he established the fact that they were guilty of the blood of Abel, slain between the horns of the and Zacharias, slain between the horns of the altar in the book of Matthew. So under this instance, Christ refers to this people as an unassimilatable seed sowed among the peoples of earth, and they are carrying out the will of their father. Today, when we talk about the beast system, we're talking about all that is involved in its categories. Luciferian warfare has been fought against our race through all the patterns of Old Testament record and history. It has been fought against us throughout all the periods of the New Testament. And in describing this in the book of Revelation, Jesus talks about how the symbols of ecclesiastical evil ride upon a seven-headed beast. Now, this is the beast system politically, the anti-God programs. It demonstrated the control of the unassimilatable forces that gained power over this political system. And it had seven heads. And the seven heads are seven mountains or kingdoms upon which this evil order of the false prophet and all the darkness ride. And so Jesus explains the symbol of these seven kingdoms and how they gained domination over it from ancient Egypt and Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And then there was coming this last one. He said five are fallen. One is Rome then being existent, and one is yet to come, and then will come an eighth that comes out of this last one. And he was talking about how the hordes of Asia, led by Genghis Khan, and actually brought in, and all Western Europe betrayed by the forces of darkness of the false prophet and the dragon system, they would make their war to conquer Christian civilization. In fact, if one is a student, as we've often mentioned this under this process, they know how the Jews met in Venice and how they set out Shui Fei Noyan, a Chinese Jew, as their representative, how he found the conqueror, how they supplied him with weapons, how they cunningly gave him one of their own for a prime minister, and how he gathered the tribes. And after they secretly opened the doors of Baghdad and Samarkand, as traitors, they lived inside the communities, opened the doors for the invasion. And then eventually those hordes swept all the way into Europe and were attacking Christendom, having conquered everything before them. And of course, the knighthood of Christendom rose to defend itself, and eventually the death of Genghis Khan ended the first wave of the assault. And then it continued on down to the days of Martin Luther. This was the beast whose wound was nigh unto death. But this was the last one, and the seventh. And then the eighth was going to come out of the seventh, and this would be the one that would go into final judgment. What is the eighth? The gathering together by the same power that gave life unto the first beast, under the last beast, was going to give life now unto the final form of it. Thus it was that as the hordes of Genghis Khan were brought against Christian civilization, and this was accomplished by the international program of the Great World to Heal of Jewry, and this is identified, Martin Luther writes on it, all historians are forced to recognize their relationship to it, and the arrangement of identity by which they protected themselves from the horde, wearing their yellow armbands in order to be immune from the waves of Asiatics that came against Christendom. This is why Martin Luther said they always ought to be made to wear armbands, and late Germans thought that was a good idea too. Now I point out to you that in the course of the situations that faced the world, that the eighth came out of the seventh. And just as Jewry gathered the hordes of Genghis Khan, they went out and gathered the hordes of world communism. From the pen of Karl Marx comes Das Kapital. From the spread and finance of international financiers, they spread the wave of communism, and even though they subordinated the peoples of the Russians, liquidated their Christian churches, wiped out the resistance as far as they could, they then started to harness Asia to make a manpower for the crushing of Christian civilization. In fact, I have long lists of almost all the leaders in early communism, a great power still behind the scenes in the area of economy, of its industry, and its development is still world Jewry. You can't separate political Zionism either from the Soviet Revolution because these two twins, communism and Zionism, have worked together. Now again, this is the same power which Jesus had pointed out would gather this last attempt to crush Christian civilization. More than that, because they are a rather international people and have moved from country to country, they become a fifth column for carrying out the political objectives of their ideas. America, especially after World War II, has been flooded with Eastern European Jews, the majority of which have been supporting socialism and communism in the United States. More than this, every time you get a communist professor inside of the average college, he is one of these unassimilatable anti-Christians that have come into the country as a refugee and as an alien. Now we look out over the things that have transpired. Since the rise of socialism and the spread of world communism, there has been a gradual infiltration. Fifth columns with the power of the financier and the buyer of the money of the dragon seed moves in. They have so gained a point of influence tonight that let us make this rather clear. The present president of the United States and the last four administrations have had an unprecedented number of dragon seed advisors whose concepts are socialistic and Marxist, and whose desire to crush our Christian civilization is quite obvious. Now, when we talk to you about trouble and people say, how is this going to end? They are well aware that there's a struggle on for the earth. Even these presidents have to admit that there's a struggle for the earth. They have to recognize communism outside as a foe against our society. They have to report the words, whether they like it or not, of Lenin, of Stalin, of Malenkov, of Khrushchev, who's not only promised world communism and conquest, but has promised to bury us. On the face of this, there is no alternative or change. We are not going tonight into all the background record of the Soviet military strategies. You can go buy the book as Rand Company translated it for the Secret Service, the United States government that acquired it. The whole blueprint calls for trying to deceive us, the blueprint calls for trying to intimidate us, and then threaten the world with nuclear holocaust, and then try to make us accept the fact that there's a division between Chinese communism and Russian communism, while trying to sell us through the world government of the Antichrist that Jesus pointed out, a total surrender of our sovereignty until we accept its decrees and its direction over our nation. Now, I'm going to cite to you tonight that when we talk about the beast system, we're talking about the whole communist revolution. We're talking about its spread inside of Asia, its spread inside of Africa. We're talking about its power behind the heads of Ghana. We're talking about its power behind the forces inside Kenya colony. We're talking about this Negro revolution that's sweeping America, communist-inspired and Jew-administrated. Now, when we talk about this plan, this is a plan first to gather sufficient hordes to eventually crush all Christian nations unless they subordinate themselves to its master plan. Not satisfied with this, they move with sheer cunning. They've established a great world organization, supposedly for all nations, and they talk about a world government that will produce peace. They also have honeycoated all the areas with which they hope to entrap peace-loving people and peoples of civilized nations. They have promised that they're going to wage war on poverty and wage war on all of the human ills that exist anywhere in the earth. They cite also that they're going to find a way to increase production, redistribute the wealth of the earth, and redistribute what the haves have with the have-nots. This is always acceptable to those that either have no initiative or vision or are among the have-not nations. Whenever they talk about this, the beast is talking about confiscating from you the things you have produced and giving it away. When it talks about have nations, they talk about Christian nations. They talk about white nations, the great nations of God's kingdom. Now, as we talk about the beast system, therefore, let's get this clear. The beast system is all of the organization of the non-Christian nations behind the communist scheme for the conquest of the world. But as a great fifth column activity and an area to get the subordination of independence, maybe without fighting for it, they've set up the world order of the United Nations to get you to surrender your authority, to surrender your armament in the pursuit of peace, that this institution with its world-policing forces and its great elite corps would control the world. This also, the Scriptures warns you, is the program of the Antichrist to rule all nations in a great confederacy denounced in Ezekiel, pointed out in the book of Isaiah, denounced by Jesus also as the world beast system, with such control over economy that, as we told you last night, last Sunday night, they wouldn't let anybody buy or sell except they put their hand to their work or tried to carry out the operation, and they believed and thought it in their mind and put their hands to it. In the forehead, in the hand, the identity with the beast system. We told you that the beast system makes war with the church, and his first objective of communism is the liquidation of the Christian church. I turn to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, and here we see the beast makes war with the saints and overcomes some of them, as they have even now in Eastern Europe, and as they've wiped out Christians by the million inside the Soviet Union after they overthrew the government of the Tsar's Russians. So it is that you and I are living in the last days, in a climactic period of time. If you want to know just how late you're living, remember that the prophet Joel was giving you the indicators. In these latter days, in this great time of trouble, when God was going to provide deliverance for his people, he said it would be the day when you see the great pillars of fire and the umbrellas of smoke and of flame high in the sky, the mushrooming atom bomb, as the apostle Peter also tells you the time, the elements dissolving in fervent heat. Now, there can be no doubt that you and I, who moved into the nuclear age in the last few decades, have come to the most climactic period in human history. We've come to the great struggle between all that constitutes the beast system and the kingdom of God. By their chicanery, they have not only invaded great Christian nations, but they have sought to sell us their bill of goods. They have not only sought to capture by the tremendous power of their purse and by the ability to buy with their coordinated conspiracy almost all the areas of communication, till press, till radio, till television are controlled by them. In fact, their control of the press is so complete that their advertisers keep out the facts, and they also slant the news, and they try to sell all of Christian civilization and this great nation as the resistant leader of the forces of communism, a bill of goods. So under this instance, this also constitutes the beast system. So one said, how successful has it been? It's been so successful that its influence from the days of Roosevelt on down to the present time has been on the increase. The number of anti-Christian advisors and appointees have been on the increase. It has become so bad that under the period of Mr. Eisenhower, they were trying to force an area of integration. They were trying to sell us on an entire bill of goods. They were trying to get us also to stop resisting and driving communism out of the Western Hemisphere. And they were doing many things. Of course, they had used this man when he was in positions of authority and power. They had even lied and smeared in their war crime trials, framed up with utter falsehood, assaults and attacks upon individuals not even guilty of what they charged. And they had so taken over this man, Eisenhower, that he permitted men to die for something he knew they had not done, rather than have any hard feelings between us and the Soviet Union. I'm going to tell you something. This sounds like the speech of the president last week. And the president said one of the troubles of the right wing and these conservatives is that they are belligerent against the adversary, and that this will never do in this day. Now, if you're going to be belligerent, there's one place to be belligerent. It's against the adversary. For my Bible tells us Lucifer and all his evil hosts are the adversary. They want to make war with us. They want to conquer us. They've told us they're going to bury us. And I think it's about time the kingdom of God got belligerent with the adversary. Of course, as we said this afternoon, Friday, the president also said in that speech, you see, we're not a nation of fighters, we're a nation of lovers. I don't know what the world thinks about that. I thought about the State Department and all the perversion and all the twists that have gone on. And I thought when he means love, it's a kind of an immoral proposition that would end our nation or force us to join with our enemies. Let me tell you this. That under this situation, we have reached a period of time which I'm going to classify right quickly. The world revolution is on the outside. It's gathering its armies. It's building up its manpower. It's building more reactors. It's building more missiles. It's getting ready for a war against the white race in God's kingdom. I also point out that it has moved inside of this nation with its unassimilatable refugees and its control of finance. It has sought for some time and has finally gained control, and from the days of the Federal Reserve System on, has expanded that control over our monetary system. In its world government, with its attraction to which our nation capitulated, but which it will have to come out of, it also manipulates through its World Monetary Fund the monies of the world and actually plans on devaluating your money and eventually breaking your industry if necessary, because no man is to be able to do business except with their permission. And so we point out that it has elected presidents, and I tell you tonight that I consider the present administration of Mr. Johnson a part of the beast system's grab inside of these United States. That's why people say, well, how can we get out of this? They've got the army, they've got the power, and the enemy's on the outside, and the world government's about to swallow us up. How are we going to get out of this? And the hands of the Luciferians are trying to stifle our faith. They denied us the right to pray in schools. They denied us the right to even respect the scriptures in school. They've turned to cut God out of our society, and it becomes apparently darker with each passing day. So as we hear these things, we see the advances and successes of communism. We see the apparent retreat of the white man from Africa, from Asia, from the four corners of the earth, back to his island kingdoms, continental homes, and see ourselves being encircled by this strategy. This is the beast system. We hear denunciations against our faith. We hear call for the absorption of our race. And we find every political strategy, every area of chicanery is used to integrate, mongrelize, and destroy the household of God in the earth. Oh, this is not a very good picture, you say. So, therefore, someone says, well, what are we going to do? What's the end of this thing going to be? Because as we are threatened on one side, and we have appeasers on the other, they're threatening to strip us of our ability to fight. They're threatening to put us all the way into this UN and actually haul down Old Glory. They want to pull down our Christian flag, and they want to erect in its place a world religious patron of actual mutated evil. Don't think that we've any nationalism left, but when the lightning gets through striking, they're going to discover it's an entirely different story. Now, someone said, Dr. Swift, what's the end of the beast system? All right. Now, I'm going to tell you what the end of the beast system is. Because this beast system, with all of its conspiracy, with all of its power, has been on the move, and you have moved into the latter days, and God started to move. God kept a voice alive at all times among his people, and he's increased the voices. God has been quickening those that will behold his blueprint and start to proclaim his word. He's stirred men. He's started a quickening among men. And you have watched in the last few years, even in your own nation, the greatest wave of patriotic meetings and patriotic attention of all time. You've discovered people are looking into communism. They have been looking into the conspiracy. And as the truth, and thus saith the Lord, has reached them, they started to identify it with their enemies. They become aware that we must battle to save America. They realize that all the machinery was created by our forefathers to do this through the ballot box. They realize that we're supposed to have the power of change and the protection of courts. But also the astute person today knows that the courts have defected, that they're pushing the beast system and the revolution by their decrees. They know that justice seems to have become blind in this great country of ours. And as they watch this, they still futilely work off. We try to capture a convention, and we do that. We have, we find the person with a good voting record, and they back him. And even the pressure of the beast system makes him come to Scranton, to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and bow down and accept some of their plans. Now, I point out to you, people say, which way can we turn? What's going to happen? At the same time, we're coming to the time of Jacob's trouble to try to force capitulation. Our enemies want to disarm us. They want violence to accomplish this. They hope they can suddenly sweep in, declare a martial law. And so they have stirred up their patterns. They have taken the more bestial peoples, the people that are emotionally irresponsible, and people that are just shortly out of witchcraft and still are being guided by new witch doctors that follow Muslim exes and Martin Luther Coons, and behind the scenes, they're Jewish attorneys. Now, they've turned the streets of our cities into a jungle. And in this great land of law and order, you watched what they did in New York, you watched what they did in Rochester, you saw what they did in Jersey City, you saw what they did in Philadelphia as six square miles were looted and pillaged and robbed. And I have, as I've told you, the newspapers, the articles, as they go down the street with the cash registers, with all kinds of television sets, clothes over the arms of Negro women, and men carrying away all the loot. They took everything they could take, and the police stand by, afraid to move because of the orders and commands that you don't touch this. What? Because the beast system's behind the scenes calling the orders. All right. Say, how's this thing going to end? I'm going to tell you how it's going to end. In the first place, the economic conspiracy is another stranglehold. And as men are finding themselves let out of work here or there, having to kowtow to the machine to even have a right to produce, and we see limitations of the areas of our defense, and there is a stirring anger moving among the peoples of God. First, God said, wrath is going to rise up in the countenance of my people. This is the last two verses of the book of Zechariah. And they're going to not only move as they talk and think, but they're going to become so angry that even the very enemy themselves start to flee your country, and there'll not be one single Canaanite left in the house of God. That's what the book of Zechariah says. Now, that's just one step. Simultaneously with these, we're going to start praying, and we're going to say, now, God, we've got a covenant here. We've got a promise. You've told us over here in the book of Daniel, and this is exactly what your race is going to do. In fact, some of us already started. He says, Michael, that great prince, the mighty archangel, shall stand up, even as he fought for you when he threw the devil and all his angels out of the upper heavens, threw him into the solar system, was pushing him defeated, was going to dissolve and disintegrate everything that was of substance of him. The Lord says, just stay, leave him right there, we'll finish him off and break his kingdom in the last days, and I'll do it with my sons and my daughters who volunteered to come, and that's why you're here. Now, things were going to become so hard in the time of Jacob's trouble so intense that we were going to say, come in, Michael, we want some help. The promise is right here that as Michael fought for the children of thy people in the ancient times of trouble and the antiquities of the yesterdays, so now as we have a time of trouble such as there never has been since there was a nation, and thy people shall be delivered, every one of us whose names have been in the family book of the Most High God, and we're going to survive this thing. So we call for Michael. Let me tell you something tonight. My eternal Father, right here, we have the record in the book of Daniel, and we know a little bit about this because it's also with something that Enoch was shown when he took his great trip out into the heavens, and my Father has tremendous fleets. From before his throne, they go 1,000 times 1,000, thousands of thousands, times 10,000 times 10,000. Now, since they put so many plurals into these thousands, I can't tell you, but I'm multiplying millions by billions by trillions right out here. So I'm not worried about whether my Father has enough fleets. I just want you to know that Michael the Archangel contains the host of the Most High God. And right now, sailing through space, surrounding this solar system, are great and vast squadrons that are moving around the earth all the time. Every once in a while, they flash through our atmosphere. They're caught and visualized by men. Some of them are circular, and some of them are like flying wedges, and some of them are like great bullets hurtling through the sky. But they are the fleets of Michael and the hosts of the Most High God. And they, my friends, represent the strongest, most powerful force the world has ever known. And among them is a flagship that belongs to the eternal God Himself, that belongs to the eternal Yahweh that you know as Jesus the Christ. And on that flagship is the emblazoned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's circling throughout space right this very moment. I tell you that not only do these hosts stand by, but there are some things that people do not realize surrounding this situation. Because as the preparedness takes place, I turn over to the book of Matthew, and we find that Jesus said in the book of Matthew that the Son of Man is going to come with all His glory. He's going to bring His great administering spirits and His holy angels with Him. His great and mighty fleets are going to come to earth when He takes the throne of His glory. And of course, He tells us the outcome of this. He's going to divide the nations like a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He's going to say to the sheep people, the white Christian nations of the world, take this kingdom I've prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. So we'll come back to this again. The fleets are there. They're moving through space. Many of them are moving around your solar system, interlacing their way in and out in your own atmosphere. Just last night, as people were telling me this morning of something they saw high up over our valley, coming in from the southeast, a great illuminated light was moving across the sky, and then suddenly it started to, as stationary, to come down. And when it got as large as the moon is, when it's full, they knew that something unusual was happening there. And then suddenly this object turned and went due south and soared away. And they could see this thing transpire. Let me tell you that you're in a climactic hour, signs in the heavens, in the skies. The great and mighty hosts of the Most High stand by. Now listen. We read here that we shall call for Michael and he'll stand by. And Joel said, and my people, everyone that calls for deliverance, and they're going to be delivered. Now that doesn't mean we're going to run, because the armies of the Most High God, as Ezekiel was told, are going to stand upon their feet, a great and mighty host. Now I point out to you that we are living in this climactic period. There are a lot of things. People say, how is it all going to happen? Well, I'm going to tell you one of the things is going to happen. We're going to keep right on spreading the truth. The truth's going to keep on spreading until most of the white people in America have had enough. Someone said we're going to win an election. I think we're going to win an election or two. But I'm going to tell you one thing we're going to do. We are going to awaken the people, and the people are going to stand up, and there's going to be anger in their countenance. I'm going to tell you this. The beast system's inner war that's turned these Negroes loose is going to come to warfare. And as George Washington saw it in his vision, there's going to be battling in the streets. We're going to win that one too. And what we don't bury, we're going to deport to Africa. Someone said this is an America. It's just that, what kind of an America do you know? What kind of an America did you inherit? My forefathers inherited America ruled by white men who, with a great republic, built the finest government under God, being destroyed today by those who want to integrate and mongrelize it. What will destroy the Negro's program in America is the violence by which he's become the pawn of communism, as he attacks our cities, as he steals from our merchants, as he attacks our women, as he breaks into our homes. Here he shall die, and here he shall be deported. Someone said, what's the end of this thing going to be? It's going to be an America so white that you can go up and down Spring Street and Hill Street and Broadway, and it'll look like the United States. If you don't think God means just that, he said, I'm going to divide them just as you separate. A shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. If there's any that we haven't finished and separate, sent away, he's going to send them off anyhow. Someone said, well, what are we going to do? How are we still going to handle the situation? We've got these unassimilatable refugees, these sons of Satan, these evil conspirators, this dragon seed. Well, I'll tell you, right in the midst of all this, and while you're battling in the streets, and while the hordes of world's communism are coming after you, and they're gathering on the outside, something else is going to happen. I turn over here now for its record, and it tells me that, that here in the book of Matthew, what's going to happen? He said, I'm going to send my ministering spirits and my holy angels, and they're going to gather all the tares out that have grown up in my field. He said, you're the children of the kingdom, you're the seed, you're the children of the Most High God. They're the tares. They're the children of the evil one. I'm going to send my holy angels, and their fleets are going to come in. They're going to look like the Black Mariah when they come in, my friends. When the fleets of the Most High God come in, and they get through in this Fairfax district and in the Bronx, there's going to be a lot of vacant apartments because there's not going to be anybody there. Someone said, Dr. Smith, you don't believe that. I tell you how much I believe it. I'm just waiting for the day when there'll be a vacancy. Someone said, where are they going to go? They got a spot way out there on the edge of the universe, the constellation of Ara, the altar, sometimes translated the lake of fire, and God's going to put these parasites out there, and for the next 1,000 years, they're going to learn how to grow potatoes and work for a change. You want to know what's going to happen to the beast system? They're going to lose their little beasties. You say, this can't happen. This is going to happen. You say, what about the order we're in? What about the trouble? What about the problem? Why, God's plan's plenty great about this. He's not only warned you that you're to come out of this evil situation, but he says this awakening and this realization of how they've robbed you and how they've done all this is going to cause the whole sea of humanities to surge. And then in the midst of all this massive conspiracy, the design of the enemy, and in their great greed, they move in all directions. Communists in Albania and in Europe are going to try to sack the Vatican for its great riches. And when that happens, there's going to ferment a great holy war as communism seeks to wipe out the strength of churches and to confiscate the riches of their ecclesiastical institutions. While this is going on also, there's going to be increasing violence throughout one end of the earth the other. And God says suddenly a great star like a meteor falls into the Mediterranean Sea. Vesuvius erupts and starts to spout flame. The earth shakes and judgment falls on the enemies of my people. I'm not worried about how many of God's people move through that. They can move right through it and come out of it because he said this will transpire. I point out to you that in the midst of this situation, someone said, well, what about the world government and what about this great control over our nation? My friends, in the midst of this trouble, the people of America, if their leaders do not do it, will not only repudiate the United Nations, they're going to repudiate the leaders. They'll eventually take them out of power. And the only people that will have power in America are those that fight the hordes of darkness. No one for United Nations will ever have power in America again. In the midst of all this, there's going to be a great shaking of the earth. And as the earth starts to shake, Manhattan Island is going to ripple like the waters of the sea. And that great glass grain tower, the communists known as the United Nations, is going to suddenly shake and tremble and fall into the East River and be swallowed up as it's swallowed up in the sea as an emblem of the end of the United Nations and of the judgments upon that pagan city in our society. This is a good time for every white man to get out of that city because judgment is going to fall upon this city of the merchants. I'm going to show you that within this same structure, God sold us as far as our politics are concerned, as far as our economy is concerned, as far as our relationships are concerned. You come out of Babylon. Separate yourself. I'm going to pour judgments on you. And if you don't want to be partaker of these judgments, you come out of her. So it's high time for America to establish an economy based on the Word of God, to not have to depend upon a system that's going to fail. In fact, the unions and labor better wake up because this control over them is going to bring this thing down with doom. And it tells me here that suddenly industry will stop and mass strikes will create a mighty violence and the people will wake up and say, we've had enough. And Babylon falls with 1 hour and they'll say, now where's your power gone? You controlled all the craft. You ruled everything. And in one moment, they've exploded in your face. I'll tell you why. Because the majority of people that work in this country are white. And the majority of white people have to be the seed of the Most High and quickened by His Spirit and motivated by the incoming unction of His abiding presence. There's going to be a great transition. Now it says, behold, Babylon falls in 1 hour. And then what does it say? Behold, she has no more control over industry and over the nations and over the kingdom. And I saw that her merchants were all the people that ran her were their merchants. They were the powerful merchants of earth that deceived with their sorceries all the nations. And I found in Babylon was the blood of all the prophets and of all the saints that were slain upon the earth. This is again takes you back to Matthew, to the words of Jesus, that identified this as world Jewry, identified them as responsible for the blood of all the martyrs and all the saints on the face of the earth, and this Jesus did in the book of Matthew. Now, after you read what he had to say about these forces and how he made this identification, again he tells us that the anger of the people rising up will smash Babylon, will crush its power, will break themselves free from its yoke, and then turn to fight the armies of the beast. Now, about that time, my friends, your red Chinese hordes trying to pour across the top of your continent are going to start moving in, and they'll be involved in this, and don't you forget it. The hordes of China are going to invade North America. The submarines of the Soviet Union are going to hurl missiles, but the Most High is going to assist you in this. You say, how far away is this? This could take place. It could be a matter of only months away. It could be a year away before these things start to move. But it's not very far removed. You say, what's going to happen? I'm going to tell you something. We've got craft with better detectors than you've ever heard of. We've got forces that will sink these tin fish of the Soviet Union, will block their attack upon you, and missiles that will intercept their missiles, and craft that can come down and catch them and throw them back. Well, let me tell you something. The hosts of the Most High are not going to let this country be destroyed by these great fleets of submarines and by these rockets of the Chinese. As the hordes of the Chinese come against you, you're going to hit them with every modern and technological weapon. And when you have finished this, it says they will have come against the mountains of Israel and the nations of God's kingdom. They've come against this great continent and this land of unwalled villages. The 38th and 39th chapter of Ezekiel tell you what happens. And it tells you we're going to defeat them militarily. We're going to dissolve them to powder and dust with nuclear weapons. We're going to strike back at them, and the hosts of heaven are going to join. And it's going to take us 7 months with earth movers, turnipoles, and caterpillar tractors to bury the masses of the hordes that have come against us as we clear the land for the new order. In the midst of this situation, the speed with which you are moving into the space age is quite obvious. Rockets and craft and all types of aircraft, and where you've been silly and have been building many of your faster ships and your bigger ships, the Soviet Union, your enemies, are building them too. And in the instance of this great turmoil, with earthquakes rocking and bringing judgments on areas around the coast of the earth, and the judgments falling on the enemies of God's kingdom before the last of these terrors are taken out. You know what transpires? We are told that in the midst of all this pattern of upheaval, that suddenly they take to the air and rise and ascend like a cloud to come against you. About that time, their navigators look to the sky. And I tell you what it says. It says, "And I beheld out of the heavens the great armies of the Most High God, and I saw He who is faithful and true and righteous, and He's coming to judge and make war." Mr. Johnson wouldn't like that because he just likes lovers. But here's the God who's the greatest of all lovers, and He's coming to make war. Now listen. It says, "His eyes are as a flame. Upon His head are the crowns, the name written there, that no man could enunciate with all the fullness of its glory. And He is clothed in the vesture in which He has given unto it glory, and by the scarlet of His own blood has paid the price." This is the embodiment of God. This is the returning, conquering, righteous King. And it says, "The armies of all heaven follow after Him." All the armies of the heavens follow after Him. Don't you think that's not going to be a big fleet? My friends, if they ever break the sound barrier, it'll sound like the Niagara Falls has got a roar going over all the earth. And it tells us about this. It says that when they see this happen, that the communists, the socialists, the Mau Mau armies, the hosts of the Soviet Union, all the powers of darkness and the missiles of Israel ally, they all say, "Look, here comes Christ, let's shoot Him down." Now, you don't know how arrogant people can get. But any time you say you're going to take on God, that's one thing I don't want to miss any part of it. If I have to ride a rocket to see it, I want to see every bit of it. It's like the arrogant integrationist Negro that said he just bought a big Cadillac and he was going down to Texas. Another little fellow with a little Model A says, "What are you going down there for?" "I'm going down to Texas. I'm going to marry a white woman. I'm going to live like a king, and they're going to accept integration." He says, "I'm going." He said, "What are you going for?" He says, "I'm going down there to see them hang you." "I don't care what kind of a ship it is. I want to get up there and see them hang the devil." I'm going to tell you, my friends, believe it or not, one of the greatest spectacles that has ever been beheld by the eyes of man is going to be fleet after fleet in the grandest formations of all time, moving out of space into the atmosphere of Earth, surrounding it like a wall of shimmering metal. And then they're going to move in. Someone says, "Beast system?" Yes, there used to be one. And they're going to be breaking their swords. They're going to be on their face crying, "Allah." And they're going to say, "Oh, we liked you all the time." Meantime, the shuttle ships are taking them away. All right? The Scripture says in this hour that they call unto the last of the rulers of the earth order and the world order among the non-white nations. And I saw this beast and this kings of the earth and their armies as they all try to make war against the King of Kings and His army. And I saw the beast and the false prophet and all his dragon seed. I saw it defeated, taken, held captive, carried out through the order, which was in itself a catastrophe for them. And the beast system is caught. Someone says, "Well, it's like we have to do anything." Yes, you've got a lot of things to do. Because, my friends, you are the household of the Most High God, and this is your nation, this is your inheritance, this is your battlefield, and this is part of the area to whence the help is coming. And I'm going to point out to you that to know your enemy, to understand his end, and to participate in the liberation of your country is a part of that operation. And one of the first things is this great anger rising in this great nation of God's kingdom until the Canaanites start to leave. Until in the colossal struggles that are emerging, we have willed and we have ordained that they shall be deported and they shall not destroy our society. As we call for help, as we meet its challenge, we're going to see the power of God, the intervention, the raising up of men of power, the movement of Midica, that shall confound the mealy-mouthed politicians and confound the areas of darkness. I'm going to tell you, this thing isn't going to move very fast as God starts to catalyze it with spiritual glory and His righteousness is seen upon His people. There won't be a lot of people headed for Switzerland, just like Bobby Kennedy was going to do a little while ago before he decided to run New York State. Kind of funny about him, you know, he can't tell them yet. Well, lots of Irishmen can't, you know. He's running for New York. He's going along, and you know, every time he grabbed a hold of a Jew's hand, he's supposed to say Happy New Year, but he didn't know who was a Jew. This shows how blind he's been running around with that guy. So he has a man with him. They told all about it in the newspapers this week. And he has a man behind him, and every time he shook somebody's hand, if the fellow says now, he says Happy New Year. Well, some great big woman stepped on the toe of the man by his side. He said, ow, and Kennedy said, Happy New Year to a great big Negro. Yes, we're in a strange pattern, all right. But just remember this. And all the strategies, all of the conspiracies, all of the multi-million-dollar and billion-dollar investments and foundations, the interrelated educational strategy, the interrelated economic strategy, the building of a mighty, powerful world government, and all that's involved in the armies of communism, and everything to threaten you with, and everything to crush your spirit down, and instead of America getting crushed, it's more alive, more vital, more challenging, more ready to go tonight than it's been in the last 40 years. And we said, what's the end of the beast system going to be? Calamity. For this is not only the day of the Lord. A thousand shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, and no harm shall come nigh thee. You're going to walk into a new age invested with power as has never been demonstrated in the earth. And every nation of the earth shall know that you are the children of God. And they shall acknowledge your Father. And for 1,000 years you shall watch the skill development, the technological greatness, the agricultural development and expansion, the end of poverty and the end of darkness as the kingdom puts men to work and puts men in areas of development and teaches them what to do. And you know one of the best things about this? In the age just ahead, you're going to see the world blossom as a rose without you paying the tax bill. One of the most fantastic things in the world, anyhow, is to see a conquering kingdom paying all the taxes. Who ever heard that? I'm going to tell you this. That whereas you may think this is utterly unrelated to the gospel, this is what it's all about. And I can show you far more scriptures and far more material. There has one thing I've told you tonight I can't support with this. Or someone says, yes, but you talked about these people that were non-Christian and didn't belong to the white race as beasts, and you said they were the beasts. Should you have said that? Well, I think that Peter was pretty well informed. Jesus called him out and made him a shepherd over the churches and over the flock. And as one of the great churchmen of the early church, he talks about these people, these unassimilatable forces who despise government, presumptuous self-will, and angels that were even greater in power than their degenerate offspring here, were afraid to even become involved in the things they're involved in. Now, what does Peter say? He says, these people are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speaking of evil of things they have no power to understand, and they shall perish because of their own corruption. Hear that now? So the chief bishop of the church that Jesus selects said, they are brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. The only thing is we haven't got on with this soon enough. Someone said, this is not humane. This is hate. This is hating evil. This is delivering people. This, my friends, is raising up God's standards. How long do you want to be kicked around? How long do you want your sons to die in wars of their control? How long do you want to see no victories? How long do you want to see depressions and catastrophes? How long do you want to see the world in agony just because you want to let a few devils run around here in the flesh? You say, what's the answer? The answer is total victory. Not appeasement, not a truce, not a coexistence. Anytime I hear a politician talking coexistence, I've got him already pegged back and filed away in the corner as a nimby-pamby that isn't any good for America. Anytime I hear somebody talking about the world being big enough for the devil and for the kingdom, it's big enough for world communism to have half of it in slavery and for us to live free and mind our own business, every time I hear that, I know that somebody doesn't know what they're doing. Someone said, what are we going to do? We're going to conquer the world for Christ, and we're going to have all His help to finish it. Someone says, when? Tomorrow. Tomorrow. You say, how far to tomorrow? You're already at it. You're already doing the groundwork. You're already stirring the people. You're already moving with the vision. And you're going to translate this vision into the mind and heart of every white man on the face of the earth. And you're going to give this hope to everybody in Africa and Asia that they only become free when that which has the ability to rule, that which has the capacities to make the earth produce, that which has the administrative abilities to direct, have taken the world for peace and prosperity and shall rule with the laws of God. I'm going to tell you that the stars and stripes are going to be flying when that spider web of the United Nations has been taken down. I'm going to tell you, you're going to know what the symbol of the lightning bolt of God's judgments are upon the enemies of His kingdom, and they're going to remember the lightning bolt before they're through. I'm going to assure you that you're a part of an endless tomorrow, because as the standard of the cross is raised also for a vibrant faith, it cannot be destroyed. The world shall know that it's by this sign we conquer. Yes, the beast system is doomed. It's all written here in a book. It's even told you how he would come. Think about it. Told you they'd gather Africa and Asia to come against you. Told you how they'd form their political program of evil. Told you how they'd take people that were impoverished and crushed by their conspiracy and try to allure them with the promises of riches. Told them how they would say they'd take from you and divide it among your enemies. Told you in the book how the alien stranger would come in and siphon out your riches and how his tax burdens would come upon you. Told you how the unassimilatable would come into your society and how God warns you not to let these strangers come. Told you they'd surround high places of office until your anger rose in your countenance. Told you how they would seek to get you entrapped till God would have to call you out of it. Every one of these things written in the book. Thousands of years before it happened, and you've arrived. Now, my friends, we've told you the rest of the story concerning what we're going to do. Let's get on with it. And then, for all beauty of all spectacles of time, when that great shimmering fleet moves out of space to Earth, and the regal splendor and the majestic glory of the eternal God moves into our dimension, and our minds become illuminated as though we had had a veil upon them. Our consciousness becomes sharpened up as the Spirit of God catalyzes this race of His, until they think as He thinks and know as He knows, until they see all the world acknowledging Him and bowing before Him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That, my friends, is one of the greatest prizes of all this destiny.